you cannot tell somebody that you can help them make more money with your marketing and your messaging if at the end of the day, they don't have a really clear offer and niche and some really fundamental foundational things that everyone needs in their business in order to make money.
Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found the Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all, strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite.
Hey, welcome to The Marketing Freelancer. I'm your host, Emily Reagan, a fellow freelance marketer who's been in the business for 15 years now, raising my four kids, moving while being a military spouse, and doing my freelance work. It has been life-changing for me, and it is my goal to help more women become unicorns, aka very confident, full-stack marketers who are doing the freelance work behind the scenes. We're the ones building the tech automations, we're doing the email funnels, we're doing the copy, we're doing the social media, the affiliate management, like all the fun stuff. I'm all about being a marketing service provider because you get to charge more, you get more flexibility, you can have different types of packages and retainers, and I think the work is creative and fun. And so here on the podcast, I'm dedicated to helping you find more clients, build a better business, get better at your craft, market yourself, all of those things. And today's guest is going to blow your mind. This was such a good episode. I have a business strategist, business coach, Stacey Brass Russell here. She is a friend of mine in real life, so it was really fun to do this podcast. And she is here to talk about high ticket sales. So for those of you wanting to move up into the 1K, 2K, 3K, 10K packages where you're doing email copy or funnel building or website overhauls, this is the episode for you to figure out how to actually sell them. But before we jump in, make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss any of our future episodes of this show. We are a top-ranking show, and I want to make sure that you catch some good ones we have planned, including a social media series that is coming. All right, let's jump into the episode. Stacey, I am so excited to have you on the show. A couple months ago, you were telling me your genius edge was high ticket sales. And I said, I need you on my podcast. So welcome. We have service providers who are looking at selling bigger ticket offers. And I want to bring you in and share your story, how you help people and help the people listening get into bigger retainers and bigger projects. So let's start by telling everyone a little bit about you, what you do and how you got here.
Yay. Hi. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm Stacey Brass Russell, and I am a business coach. And I like to say, and that's very general, right? And I like to say I really specialize in helping people that are selling some sort of transformational offers, service, real service-based offers, right? Like where you really are working with other human beings and helping them to get some sort of outcome or, you know, achieve something that they really want to achieve. And I help people really create those offers, market those offers so they know how to talk about it and sell the offers. Because I think that, like, you know, selling especially higher ticket offers can be very daunting for people when, like, you all of a sudden realize that you're asking someone to pay you thousands of dollars for something. And I know that all the people I work with that are a lot of, you know, course creators and coaches and service providers and wellness professionals and all of these people, they have a really hard time asking for money. So let's just like talk about that. Let's just take that.
Yes.
So in order to sell high ticket, part of what is involved in that is also like, what does it really take to be able to ask somebody to pay you thousands of dollars? So I really help people in that entire process, like creating the offers so that, and I always say you have to be in love with your offer so that other people will love it too, right? So I help people create those and then really help them figure out how to talk about it and how to sell it.
I really see you as a hybrid of, yes, a little bit of that sales coach, the business coach, but also a business strategist, which is rare in this space because you go into people's offers and figure out like what's working and what they need to do that's in alignment. And I think that's hard to find.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I am a strategist, and I do, like, very often, like, people come to me and they are wanting to try to sell a particular offer. They've already created, this is what they do. They come to me and they're like, this is what I'm doing and I can't get people, right? And one of the things that makes a strategist, I think, is that I'm not just here being like, yes, everyone should sell a membership or everyone should sell a low ticket offer or everyone should start with a course or a group program. I think that people don't know all of the things that they should be looking at in their overall business model, first of all, and also phase of business, like where they are in their business and where you are in your business. A lot of it has to do with where you are in terms of building an audience or having lead generation, like knowing where that's coming from. And so when you're thinking about crafting offers, such a big part of it also has to be if you already know where the people are going to come from for your offer. And so often people are not thinking that way. They're just thinking, oh, it looks cool to have a membership. And that seems to be like a low lift and a this and a that. And I'm like, it's actually not. So that's the strategy part, is like, I kind of come in wherever people are in their businesses and they tell me what it is that they're trying to sell. And I'm going to analyze with them like, okay, like, how can we sell that for you? Like, because at the end of the day, what is selling? It's having an offer, but also having someone who wants to buy it.
Yeah. And I think you've talked about this on other shows that you've been on and your own podcast, is like believing in yourself, right? So this episode, I am really have in mind the higher end service provider who's been in a few years,
yeah,
like clear on what they're doing. They're really good at it. They prove the model. They're out of the $30 an hour, you know, business, yep, right there. And they're moving on to high ticket. But it's, yep, also very meta, because sometimes we're behind the scenes with clients with this same problem. So it's like good to know you on both ends of the spectrum here.
100%. Because imagine being, you know, a high level assistant, an OBM. Imagine stepping in, because like some people are ready for that kind of person in their business, but they might not be running like a seven-figure business or anything, right? And they might still be in the place where even they are, maybe they need a me also, right? But where they are kind of feeling a little bit confused about like how to really sell, you know, their offers. And I know that a lot of the people you work with, you help them with like being marketing experts, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that when it comes to selling high ticket, okay, whether you're selling it for yourself or you're supporting somebody else who's selling high ticket or any offer, you need to know what it really takes to sell something that is not $47 or, you know, or $97 or even $197. You need to know the difference psychologically, as well as like the sales cycle and the process of what it really takes to get someone investing at that level. And, you know, so first of all, you said like, we're going to talk about this confidence piece, right? And you mentioned in the beginning how, you know, you wanted to talk about my framework, your genius edge, okay? And one of the things that I think a lot of people are talking about right now in the marketplace are two main things. Number one, that we're in this sort of what you're hearing people call a trust recession, right? And this trust recession is really just a name for the fact that people are being more discerning right now about their investments. That's all. Like, that's all it means. It doesn't mean that people aren't buying things or investing in services. It just means that like, we went through a little period during the pandemic where everybody was just sort of like buying stuff, right? And then a lot of people got burned. A lot of people didn't get the results that they thought they were going to get. And so now here we are. We are having economic uncertainty in some ways. And so people are being a lot more, they're taking their time, first of all, like before buying, and they need more. They need more trust and they need more, like they need to feel more confident that they know that like you can definitely be the person that's right to help them. So that's the trust recession. And then we have this other thing that's happening, in case you haven't heard, AI, right? And we have a lot of people who are feeling very scared that, mm-hmm, AI can replace them. And I'm like, you know what? Like AI can definitely do a lot of things, but I am a firm believer, and I'm doubling down on this, that I do not believe that for most of us, you cannot be replaced by AI, but you need to know why you can't be replaced by AI. And so in both of these areas, like how we respond to the trust recession and how we respond to the AI, it all comes back to the same thing. You need to know now more than ever what makes you brilliant at what you do. Your genius edge is the intersection between your unique genius, your brilliance, the way that you do the work that you do, that even though other people do the same work as you, there's a way that you do it. There's a way that you have evolved, especially those of you who are the more experienced people that we're talking to. Your years of experience and all the people you've worked with and how you bring your genius to your work, that has all evolved into a version of you now that can absolutely say to somebody, listen, I do it this way. I've taken all of my experience and I've put things together, and I know that the best way to serve you and get the outcomes that you want, I know the way to do that. And here's my proprietary system. Here's how I've put my genius together. There's that. And then this is the intersection, your genius edge between that brilliance, then having the right offers, meaning how are you constructing your offers so that not only are they allowing for you to show up and deliver at the highest level, but also what's the offer that your client is actually going to get the best results with? So instead of like creating offers where you're worried that everybody wants the slower, cheaper, lower, cheaper, faster thing, you have to really be the authority. You have to say, no, I'm sorry. You know what? I can't get you your result that way. This is how you can get your result. So you have to know how to craft offers that really deliver the outcomes you're saying. And then the third piece is, what's your best way of attracting ideal clients and selling to them, and knowing what you need to do in your business, what kind of content you need to be creating, where you need to be showing up, and how you need to be showing up in a way that lets other people know how amazing you are so that they'll want to talk to you. So your genius edge is like, is this intersection between all three of these things? And when you're really selling from your place of genius, I think that like there may be some people who are at a certain point in their business where low ticket offers are the right thing to add in. This is a little controversial. This is what I believe. But I believe that when we're really crafting offers, where we're really delivering our best work and our genius to our clients, those are, I think, always going to be our high ticket offers.
Okay. I think a lot of people listening are in that spot between two and three, like have been playing around with the offers, trying to get better at selling, which is exactly why you are here today.
Yeah.
What would you say if we were to start at the beginning here and just give the basics, like what classifies as high ticket? What is a high ticket service?
So listen, first of all, high ticket is the way I define it, as when you're ready to move away from exchanging time for money. That's first of all. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like exchanging time for money is impossible to create a high ticket, really a high ticket offer, right? Because once you move into high ticket, you're now putting a price on an offer, a service that is very transformational or outcome driven. It's outcome oriented, right? And you are basically saying to your client, this is not about how many sessions or how many hours or how many like things are included, because it's really about the overall, like what you're paying for, which is like me to come in and help you to get these really specific results and outcomes that like I know you want and that I'm the best at helping people to get, right? And so the number, the price on that is different for everyone. You know, with my coach clients, right, my clients that are coaches, very often starting out by charging $1,500 for a 3-month coaching offer is where their nervous systems can handle, right? I don't think we all come right out of the gate charging $5,000 for a coaching offer. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I do think that like what constitutes high ticket to me is always something that's over a grand, right? I think it's easier to sell things that are less than $1,000. And I think once you hit the $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 and you start going up from there, I think that those are the offers that are not as easy to just be like, and this is how much it is. And then people go, great, right? Like, but it requires for you to be able to sell those offers in a different way, because what you're selling is a different level of value than basically hours, right? And I think that for a lot of your people, you know, this is a big switch for them to go from, you know, from being like, hey, it's a package of 5 hours or 10 hours, you know, a month or 20 hours, whatever, to going, hey, it's this much, right? Like per month, or like, it's a minimum of 6 months you're hiring me for, and this is how much it is. I don't know exactly how all the OBMs and people, you know, charge for that, or funnel builders, or, you know, people like that. But I think that, like, once you get into that range where you're going up in that price, you have to be able to talk about your offer in a very different way than a list of skills, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking of a couple of different things here. Like the tech person who just like pops in and loads emails, really easy to charge an hourly rate. And then you think about the person who's building the automations in the background that kick off different sales circuits, and they're like gathering VOC at the same time. And like this whole sophisticated level of like tracking hot leads versus like, I just built a lead magnet and it punches out an email and delivers a freebie.
Exactly. Like, so like, you know, am I an implementer that like, you know, that can like take that, you know, because my business owner client doesn't know how to like do tech and can't like attach a lead magnet to Flowdesk and doesn't know how to create a segment or whatever? Or am I coming in and am I saying, I also have a brain that like, cause like if you're me, right? If you're Stacey Brazrazel, okay, like my brain works as a strategist. So like when I'm doing a launch, my brain knows every single piece of the puzzle that needs to be happening during the launch. And for me to convey that to my Kaylee, who actually is someone who I hired as a recommendation from you, let's remember, you know, my business manager, I need to know like that Kaylee knows all those moving parts too. Like, you know what I mean? And that like technically, if I, this is just like a personality problem. I have a personality problem, Emily. Like if I believe that like I could hand the whole thing off to Kaylee at this point and she could probably like make sure everything happens, like quote unquote, without me. Although like that's never going to happen because I'm too much of like a crazy, like controlling type A Virgo, like psycho. So it's poor Kaylee. That's never going to happen. But to the best that like I know that she gets it, she's very different to me than someone who is, you know, who I just have to tell everything to, and then they're just like executing on it, you know, yeah. or that they know a couple of things, tech things that I don't know. But like, yeah. I think that when you're talking about a funnel strategist and a VOC person, whatever, you have to know that that person really is smart. I mean, I hate to say it, but like they're smart enough to like really get you, your niche, your business, your thought leadership, like your messaging. Like they have to kind of be, like if I was going to hire somebody to do a funnel strategy with me, I feel like I would need to like, I don't know. I'd have to like have them put them through all kinds of things because I'd need to know that they weren't going to treat it in this really generic way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so the reason why I'm saying all of this is because we're talking about how can your people start thinking of positioning themselves with higher ticket offers. And I think that part of it is that they have to be able to talk about this stuff. They have to be able to talk about what makes them brilliant and what makes them like really different and unique, and how they have created, hopefully, like this is a goal maybe for some of you, that you've created even your own frameworks. Like let's say you want to go in and be hired by somebody who launches, right? If you want to say like, listen, I can really support you with your launches and I can really support you with funnel strategy, and here's how. In an ideal scenario, your high ticket offer is going to be you having a proprietary framework that you have created where you are saying to your prospective client, listen, here's what I know needs to happen when I support a client through a successful launch. And you're going to walk them through a 4 or 5 step. I don't mean that you're literally going to outline what a launch is because your client hopefully knows that, but you're going to be saying what you bring to the picture, that you're saying, well, step one, when I work with you is like the first thing we do is we create the launch vision. The second thing we do is, in other words, like whatever is that, I call it your signature system that you create, where you start creating your own proprietary frameworks and ways that you can describe to your client how you really do have an expertise or brilliance and genius in this. And then what happens is that's what your clients are investing in. So that's what a high ticket offer is. A high ticket offer is where you can tell people what it is that they're investing in. And the value that they're investing in is that you have a proprietary genius way of helping them get the outcomes that they really want, right? And so part of that is if you are saying to someone, listen, I can look at your offers and whatever, and I can tell you that I believe that I can help you have a six-figure launch or whatever it is, right? What is the outcome that your client wants?
Okay, so I'm thinking about what I teach a lot of my unicorns. Like, we're growing up to be full-stack marketers. Like, we get the ecosystem and how one thing over here affects another. Yep. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a website developer, built a website, didn't have the email catcher, like didn't have the favicon, didn't have the SEO, and like they worked in their little bubble. And so that's one proponent I'm with my people is seeing the value that they bring. But like, how do you articulate that? That's my question for you. How do you articulate, like, I'm so much more than this little bubble assistant. Like, I also know how to connect the dots. Like, somebody supporting a webinar, for instance, from my community knows I'm gathering the hot leads. I can upload that list into Facebook for retargeting. I am gathering the VOC, the messaging, the objections. Yep. Like, it's beyond just sitting there on Zoom in the chat for an hour. Correct. You know what I mean?
Correct. So I teach something called the four pillars of value. Okay. It's an easy way for me to like answer the question that you just asked, right?
Also, so, look at you putting your own, like, you know, proprietary
framework. Hello. Yes. My yellow brick road system, the four pillars of value, Stacey's seven messaging styles, like, you know, and this is what we all have to be creating, just so you know, like in this day and age, that is what's going to set you apart from AI. That is what's going to make somebody go, oh, she actually knows what she's talking about, right? Oh, she's thought about this. Like, she actually created a system. So the four pillars of value are, number one, what are the outcomes that your client wants? Like, that's the first most important valuable thing about your offer, is that it is outcome driven and that you're telling your client like what they actually want, right? Or you're telling them you can help them achieve these outcomes. The second value pillar is your unique signature transformational process, your system, your framework, whatever it is that you want to call it. Because that's where, so the first part is client centered, right? The first part is like, the first piece of value is, let's be real. When people are making an investment, they're investing in themselves. They're not investing in you. They're not interested in like supporting you and they're not being like, you know what? I'm going to hire Emily because I just really believe that Emily is such a good person. And I just want to help fund her life. I mean, right? Like, exactly. But like, so the first thing they're investing in is themselves. So that's the very first thing you have to be able to tell them is, hey, listen, if you work with me, I am going to help you get, and you need to be naming these very desirable outcomes. Sometimes this can also be how you frame that you can help them solve a problem that they're having, right? But like, either way, that's what that first value pillar has to be. And it has to be front and center. That's like the thing people are buying. Okay. Number two, this is what they're not buying. They're not buying your tools and all the things and that you know Zapier and that you know this and that. They're not buying that. Okay. They don't give a shit about that. Like at the end of the day, they do, like when it comes down to like the fine print. But like, at first they need to know. And if you're saying the things that they need to hear, then the assumption is that you do know those things, right? Then the second thing that of the value pillar is the system, where you can say, and here's why I'm the person that can help you do it. Because this is how I've taken my brilliance and genius and I've turned it into a very easy for you to understand system that I apply, that I use, so that you know I'm not just winging it. I actually have a method. Okay. The third value pillar, okay, is always.
Hey, wait a second. Let's take a pause. Here's the truth. Clients don't rave about the VA who's always scrambling through Google Docs. They rave about the one who shows up sharp, remembers everything, gets stuff done, and makes their life easier. That's exactly what the Smart Client Brain helps you do. Keep all your notes and recordings in one place so you look like the pro they brag about and pay well. Steal it for free at emilyreaganpr.com/brain. Back to the show.
What is the time and energy? So we all have three valuable commodities, okay? Every human being, we have time, energy, and money. Those are our three most valuable resources, okay? And so the third value pillar is, how does your offer impact your client's two of those valuable resources, their time and energy. So when you're positioning your offer and how much it is, part of what you're able to tell them is, hey, listen, this is either going to like speed up time for you, meaning it's going to accelerate your results, or you're going to be telling them you're going to have more time, you're going to have more energy, I'm going to be saving you energy. Like, you have to know for your client, what is the value of working with you as it relates to like their time and energy? And then the third value pillar is money, right? And that money pillar is, does your offer, is it going to help your clients make more money? Is it going to save them money? So in other words, like if you're a unicorn, there's a money saving element to you, because what you're essentially telling your clients is, instead of needing to hire four different people to do X, Y, and Z, and they're all going to feel like all these team members that all have to be communicating, I can solve a problem for you by being the unicorn. I am those four team members at once. That's just an example of how I could see you positioning yourself, like in terms of the money value pillar. And then also, you know, do you believe that by hiring you, your client is actually going to make more money, right? So these are the four value pillars that you need to be able to like really be dialed in on when you talk about your offer, right? And none of that has to do with hours or like sessions or tools or anything yet. Now, when you make an offer, do you also need to be able to have a lot of clarity about what it is? Yeah, of course, because we can't just like work with people like in the universe. We can't be like, and somehow we're going to meet up and we're not going to know when or how, right? So there are logistics to our offers that we need, but I see so many people making the huge mistake of thinking that that's actually what you're selling. And it isn't. You're selling the first thing I just outlined for you. And then the sort of like, okay, so does that sound good to you? When your client is like, holy shit, that sounds like exactly what I need. Then you go, okay, great. So this is how it works. And then the third piece of your offer is, and this is how much it costs for that. But if you say the logistics and the cost first, and then you try to backpedal and go, but this is why it's so valuable, then you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah,
you got to be leading with the four pillars of value first, so that by the time you tell someone how much it costs, they're already so desiring of this thing. They want to work with you already. And so then when you tell them how much it's going to be, then, you know, then they have a much better way of sort of wrapping their head around the value of that investment in their business.
Yeah. And this is going to sound big-headed, but like I've never struggled with this part of it, because I know the value of the work and what I can do, even if it's something like as simple as Pinterest.
Well, like, you're lucky.
I don't mean I'm perfect at it, but I'm like, I know that I can bring you 20,000 clicks to your website every month. Where I guess where I struggle, Stacey, is like so much of the actually getting the money back and the sales depends on these other factors, like what totally. Is their landing page, what are their own offers, and that.
I agree. You know, you do have to be real. Like, I'm very realistic with people. Like, I'm the business coach that does not walk around touting that I can help you have 10K months or 20K months or 50K months. Like, I never talk about those things because, yeah. And even when somebody like, you know, gets on a discovery call with me and they want to hear that. And I will be like, you could ask anyone who's ever had a discovery call with me. I will literally like put my foot down and say, I'm sorry, I will not. Do I believe that like I can help people generate more revenue? I absolutely do, because I've done it. But there is so much that goes into making money in your business. And like, until I get to know you, I have no idea whether or not like I could help you create the most amazing offer in the world and put a $5,000 investment on it. But if you don't talk to people in real life, if you don't go out into the world, if you don't make yourself visible, if you don't have conversations, if you don't want to do all the other steps that involve like attracting clients, if you're not doing all these things, I have no control over that. I can't come to your house and like be laying in bed with you. And when you wake up, go, you know, hi, are you going to first do some personal outreach this morning? Which is what I teach, is like the very first activity of your day. You know, I always teach like, do not wake up and like worry about posting on social media. That's not going to get you your next client. Like for my clients, yeah. I don't teach like getting clients from your stories and Instagram. Like, especially when you're selling high ticket, that's not usually how it happens, you guys. So please don't be deluded that like people are paying 10 grand off of someone's stories and a DM. Okay. So like, what does it take to really get a $10,000 client? Well, it takes follow-up. It takes personal outreach. It takes relationship building. It takes nurturing. And like when you wake up in the morning, that's the shit you should be doing if you want your next client. After you do your personal outreach and you're following up and your relationship stuff and you're going back through your leads and going, is there anyone who I really should be getting back in touch with? Are there any unanswered messages here? Then after you do all that, then you could go, okay, now I'll post on social media. But I think that people really have it backwards when they think about like, what are the activities? And I know this went on a tangent. The thing we were talking about was we can't guarantee helping people make more money. But what we can tell them is that the work that we do is going to open up that possibility for them. Like we believe that that is, I can help you make more money as long as like, obviously, and listen, with anybody that I work with that are like, or my friends, I have a lot of friends like you, a lot of friends that are website people, a lot of friends that are marketing experts, a lot of friends that, you know, have a lot of people like that are my friends like that. And one of the things that I think is very difficult is you cannot tell somebody that you can help them make more money with your marketing and your messaging if at the end of the day, they don't have a really clear offer and niche and some really fundamental foundational things that everyone needs in their business in order to make money.
And oh my God, this just happened with me with a client because it's like I brought all the leads in, but ultimately he had to get on a call and close them and it wasn't happening. And so I slept fine at night.
Yeah. Right. But this is the thing that happens a lot with marketing people and a lot. And so then what happens is they're in this sticky place. They've got clients because they said, listen, I'm going to help you make money. I'm going to help you get your business. I'm going to help you grow, scale, whatever those words are. And then here you are. And if you're not an offer expert, now you've got a problem because you've got a client and you're like, oh shit, like their offer isn't actually like that's the problem. I could do all the other stuff, but like there's an offer problem, right? So yeah. It's very hard to make money guarantees because I think it's very dependent on the individual. And I know that's not what anyone wants to hear, but like,
no, we need to hear that because two things, like all the ads managers just gave you like a virtual high five because I know they all deal with this with their new ads clients who don't have successful offers. But I also think that this honest conversation helps counteract, or it's almost like an anti-objection. I don't even know if that's a thing to the trust recession because we hear, oh, make 10K for this or that. And immediately like the trust for me goes to like negative. I'm like, I don't believe you. And I'm already punching holes in that. So if you're going to give me the honest answer, I already trust you more.
Yes, thank you. And the other problem is that like, unfortunately for the ads managers, I'll just say, because you know, one of the things that I am, you know, kind of known for is like, you know, that I've built a very successful, like, you know, like almost $500,000 business without running ads. You know, in the last 2 years, I've started selectively using ads for one purpose, just to run them when I'm doing my launch event. That's it, right? And you have no idea how many people come to me to be their coach who have already thrown like 30K, 40K down the drain because when they were starting out as a coach, they didn't know how to get clients and they didn't know why. And so they just got sucked in. They got totally like, you know, preyed upon by like an agency or by somebody that's like, we can get you leads. And they got them in there and they built them a funnel, but the person didn't even have an offer. They didn't even really know their niche yet. And they built them this whole thing and they said, now you have to spend $5,000 a month running ads to this automated webinar. And then they're going to get the upsell and they're going to get the this and they're going to book a call. And then these people come to me and they're like, I got a few calls booked and then they were no shows. I mean, we are talking like thousands of dollars down the drain. And why? because those people had no business doing ads or doing an automated funnel for where they were at their stage of like, they had no foundation for their business.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, I'm like, I don't believe anyone needs to run ads until they're making six figures. I believe you can build, I believe with high ticket offers, you can build a six figure business without ads. And then if you want to then start exploring like, how can ads support you in your business and really doing that in a smart way, but not if your problem is no leads. If your problem is I got no leads and no one has ever bought my offer, ads is not the solution.
Oh, that's so good. I know every marketing person here is going to like steal that when their client pushes back.
Yeah, or they're going to hate me. Or they're going to hate me because, you know, it's one or the other.
Yeah, ads manager. I think all my ad manager friends would agree with you. They don't want clients who are just starting. I think that's like mutually like accepted among all of them. Okay, yeah. So pricing can feel really scary. I know my people, I know we struggle with this. Is there anything else that can help us shift our mindset when it comes to confidently like pitching that price and that sales call moment?
Yes. Okay, so first of all, I believe that like, look, obviously when you know your industry, you know, like in general, what maybe other people of your level or whatever are charging. But in the entrepreneurial world, it, you know, we also know that there's a huge range of that, right? Like there are business coaches who charge way less than me. There are business coaches who charge way more than me, right? So the way that I really think we should look at our pricing is we have to just start somewhere. We have to just start somewhere. You have to start with a number that feels good to you. And I always say, when you look at your offer and what you're saying you're going to do with someone, how you're going to show up for them, I'm a very high touch, like, you know, person in my offers. So like, I know when I take on a client, whether it's in my group program or my one-on-one, I know that there's a lot of Stacy, like, you know, even energetically, right? It's not even about like how much time, like how many sessions, right? It's really about like, how much I'm thinking about somebody and how much I'm basically supporting them. And so I ask myself, right, what is a number that feels good to me that like if someone says yes to working with me and I'm then going to be committed to showing up for them for X amount of time in that way, I don't want to resent that. I don't want to be like, oh shit, I can't believe I like didn't turn, right? So, I want to know what that number for today. This is the important thing for today. Is what does it feel like for today based on how many clients you have, don't have, want? And so I always say, why don't you make it an easy, if you really need a new client or a couple of clients and that's where you are in your business at this new high ticket, we'll say even, why don't you start with what feels to you like it'll be an easy yes? Why don't you get like one or two people to say yes at a number that might feel a little bit scary for you? Like if you're like, you get to that point in the call, and I always say my clients laugh at this, Emily. I always say, if you make an offer the way I teach, you're first going to talk about the four pillars of value. That's the first thing you're going to say to your client. Then you're going to ask them, does that sound good to you? And I'm going to be like, yeah, it really does. Then you're going to like tell them, okay, great. Well, here are the logistics. I only work in 6 month increments for the, you know what I mean? Like then you're going to tell them those details. Does that sound good to you? Yeah, great. And this is the part I always say. And then I always say, and then say the investment and shut the fuck up, right? So then you go, great. So the investment for that is $5,000. That's it. And you got to get comfortable doing that with your number a few times. And you've got to get a few yeses before you're ever going to feel like, you know, you're ready to like raise your investment. But I always say you got to start at a number that makes you a little uncomfortable, but that feels like intuitively you're like, but I know that I can get a yes from this, right? Like you like, and so it's a fine line. We all have a different number for that. And then here's the other thing I always say, don't forget, it's your business. You're not telling everyone, well, I have to charge five people that amount before I can raise my investment. No, you don't. Like if you get a yes at 5,000 and you're like, wow, that felt really good. And the person happened to say to me, oh my God, that's a deal, right? Then you go, great. Maybe the next time you're going to say that the investment is 5,500. Like, you know, and I'm not in the business of jacking people. So like, I also don't really want to make my investment, like some coaches that do the same thing as me and their investment is three times as much mine is, to be honest with you, it doesn't feel like in alignment for me to charge that much. So like, even though like, I'm like, oh, I guess I could make more money, I'm also running a business that I want to feel like in integrity and really good about. So like, where somebody else charges 30K for like what, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel right now that that's what I need to do. So I think that pricing is a really like interesting individual thing. Also, I never use the language like charge what you're worth or whatever. No, it's like, it's your work. It's your time. It's like, it's how you're showing up for your client. It's that relationship. And how much do you need to charge in order to show up 1,000% for your clients? That is how I base everything. What do I need to charge in order to show up 1,000% for my clients and love doing it and not be resentful and not feel like, oh shit, I've put myself in a position where I have too many clients not paying me enough and I'm showing up for everyone 1,000% and I'm burning out.
Oh, my people relate to that right there. I know for me, this is kind of embarrassing to admit, but especially early on, I almost had to hit that rock bottom every time and say, I will never do that at that price again. And it was a little bit, I think there's some relief. There's like a gut internal reaction, this knowing like I will never do that. And that was not worth it. And not that I didn't enjoy the client or the work. It's just, I knew the level that I delivered.
And sometimes you can't know until you do that. Like, and that's the other thing. It's like, you can't really know until you're going through stuff, right? And then you go, you know what? If I'm going to support someone in that way, I've got to charge a couple of more $1,000 for that because of how much bandwidth and how much I deliver. And I think that that's where it feels really good when you're making your pricing versus if you feel like you're trying to come up with numbers and it feels really like arbitrary to you or it feels like you're, again, trying to calculate hours. Don't do that. Like, that's not a good calculation, right? And so, look, do I think that some things, like when you, you know, when you calculate by the hour, some of your people, you do have to be able to be accountable for like what the work you do. Like, you know, like, I mean, we do have to, sometimes what you do has a measurable component to it. And I get those, but there's a difference between saying I charge $50 an hour and you can book me for five of those hours. And then you go, wait a minute, it doesn't feel worth it to me to have a client holding 5 hours of space and time and energy for me for $250. But I'd rather have my retainer clients who pay me, you know, $1,000 or $15 or $2,000 a month every single month, like clockwork. And those are the clients where I can really be like, that's my client. That's very different than charging hourly. Like when someone is like a recurring retaining client and they're paying you $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, $3,000, whatever, depending on what you're actually doing for them. Even if that's calculated by the hour, like it's 10 hours a month for $50, but it's a guarantee, right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that like, or 20 hours, I didn't do good math there. I think that the key is that you're not taking on those clients. The high ticket offer is where you're not taking on those clients anymore who may or may not need you next month, who only want 5 hours. Whereas you're like, you know what? I can't run my business like that. So I only take business owners who are at a point in their business where they're investing in more like higher levels of support, right? Like, I think that that's part of how you scale your own business is where you start deciding, I don't work with people that only need this much from me because what I do is so much bigger and greater than that. So I only want to work with the people who really want me coming in and helping with the operations of their business or who are giving me things to do that they don't need to remind me of, right? That I'm just doing for them behind the scenes. And that's valuable. Valuable.
At your highest impact. Yeah.
That's valuable to someone like me, like where I'm like, I know that there are certain things that have to do with the running of my program, for example, that Kaylee, at this point, she just does those things, right? And she tells me she does. She's like, hey, here's our weekly check-in. I did these things. But like, but I don't have to be like, hey, did you do this? Right? And that's valuable. And you can only have that when somebody actually becomes part of your team. And I think that like a team member is different than an hourly, like, if you are an OBM or whatever, I get it. Like your packages are in a way hourly based in some sense. So I'm not saying you can't do that, but there's a difference between letting people come in and pay you for like an hour here, an hour there, or whatever, and actually having retainer clients where you become part of their team and you're invested in their business and you get to know them. And there's great value in that. Like there's great value in that. And you have to be able to talk about that to your prospective clients rather than listing the tasks that you're able to do for them. But you have to be able to say to a business owner, I'm now speaking to your people, not mine. You have to be able to say to a business owner, hey, listen, when you hire me, I'm more than like somebody who's going to like be task oriented. I'm going to come in and I'm going to get to know you, your business, your messaging, everything. And I'm going to be able to become integrated into your business to the point where like you feel like there are things that you literally don't have to think about. And I will tell you for a fact that there are business owners who they hear that and they're going to go, really? You think you can do that? Okay, great. I'm in.
Yeah, I hear that. I think that's like the biggest complaint right now is the people who have hired the lower level virtual assistants or admin assistants who then require all the management, everyone.
Yeah, and look, it's not putting those people down. Like my clients that are in my academy, their first hire is a virtual assistant. They can't hire somebody who's and I always tell them, I'm like, please don't hire a virtual assistant who thinks they're going to become your messaging expert. I'm like, okay, like my clients need to know their own freaking messaging first. So they don't need to hire someone to take it over for them.
Tasks are usually the first tier. It's repetitive. It's lower level. It's just what it is, guys.
Yeah. Set up my email, help me with these techie things, help me schedule social media posts, maybe create a post for me, but like you should still be looking at it and like rewriting it probably because you know, until you're so dialed in with your own messaging and your own whatever, don't hire out. Sorry.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the 10K funnel as we wrap it up. But first, will you tell everyone about the freebie you have? You have a high converting event playbook.
I do. So I have, and actually it's now a bundle, Emily. So I have like the high converting event bundle, which has a little video training from me about like the things that you really need to make sure you're doing in your webinar, right? Or your workshop, your training, whatever. And then it comes with a template, an outline of how to structure a high converting webinar, whatever you want to call your thing, masterclass, you know, workshop or whatever, but one with the intention of it leading to people like understanding like why they would want to work with you.
Oh, I love that. That's good timing for me too, because I'm thinking about redoing my webinar. So thank you. Okay. We'll put a link to that in the show notes for the high converting event playbook. Again, just going to point it out, something that we can utilize for our clients or send clients Stacey's way if you realize they need help with their business model, their strategy, their offers. Like Stacey's your coach for that.
Yeah, I'm the full service. Yeah. I'm a true business coach. I'm like, I'm looking at all the things, not just generic stuff. Yeah.
And it's so good for us because sometimes we get these clients where we're like, you need help. It's not us. And a lot of the guests on our podcast or people who teach in our work group, I'm like, this is the like sister service provider you need to know who can help your clients get results. And it's very admirable. Like we said, like, I don't do that. I don't guarantee these results and I don't do that. Instead of trying to be everything to everyone. So before we hit record on this podcast, you mentioned a friend. I also have a friend selling something similar, selling a 10K funnel for the first time.
Yeah.
Can you just kind of like recap what she did there to make that happen?
Well, really a 10K offer, like a real like done for you for like her clients. So she is a web designer and a funnel strategist, you know, like someone who helps somebody really set up their whole thing in Kajabi, right? Like a real full service and copywriting and, you know, so like a whole thing. And we were just talking and she was, you know, she was feeling the feels about like putting out a 10K proposal, right? Because like that was a high number, a 10K proposal. And so we were just having a back and forth and I told her like what to focus on when she was making the proposal, like what she was getting really caught up in the deliverables and in all the details and everything. And I said, listen, people don't buy, that's not what they're buying. What they really want to know is like what you're actually going to be helping them to do and why doing it with you is going to like, and I told her the four pillars of value basically, right? Yeah. And anyway, she was like, okay, this is really helpful, right? And then cut to, you know, like, I don't know, it was like a week later and she messaged me and she said, I just want you to know that I made the 10K proposal. They just got back to me and said they were yes. And I did everything you said. And I just want to like, thank you. Like it worked, you know? And so, you know, I stand by it. I really do believe these high ticket offers, high ticket proposals, whatever you want to call it. I really believe that if you know how to position your offer through the value of it for the client first and the things that are really important to them, then all of the other technicalities, the deliverables, like, you know, the like the how it's going to work, the how many sessions, the how many, blah, blah, blah. Like, honestly, like, and I always say this to people, I'm like, if you could tell somebody that like that you could get them the outcomes they want and you tell them how much it is, they're actually not going to give a shit, I don't think, if it's that you tell them it's all going to happen in one day or if it's going to happen in like 3 days or five sessions or 10 things, whatever. As long as you're giving them what they want, right? And you're serving the big need that they have right now in their business. You're either solving a problem or you're going to help them get an outcome that they really, really want. When you are the person for that, you don't have to get caught up in all of those like logistics, like when you're making the offer.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. Hey, anyone listening to this, if you are able to use Stacey's four pillars of value in your sales call, in your proposal, I don't know, maybe it's a DM conversation with someone and you can sell from the stories. I don't know. Would you let Stacey and I know that this podcast helped you? And please. Stacey, where can we reach you and tell us about your podcast?
Okay, so Passionate and Prosperous is my podcast. And so I'd love to send people there, Passionate and Prosperous with Stacey Brass Russell on all the channels. And then I'm very easy to reach. I'm on Instagram as Stacey Brass Russell. I'm on Facebook as Stacey Brass Russell. I do respond to DMs. And my website is StaceyBrassRussell.com. And if you want to get that, the high converting webinar bundle is so good. So, you know, if you get that, you'll get an email from me. I always say hit reply to any email from me. So listen, I love talking to people. This is like how, this is my entire like life is like relationship. So please reach out if you want to for anything, even just to say that you listened to this.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. It was such a pleasure. Thanks for being here. We'll see you over on Instagram.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Oh my gosh, so good. You better take these four pillars and run with it in your own marketing, when you're articulating your value on a discovery call, in the DMs, in emails, on a call. This is how you show you are more than an order taker, that you're not a commodity and you're not just trading time for money anymore. You're getting into high ticket sales and you're really starting with the outcomes, your signature system, and how you help save time, energy, and make money. And make sure you grab Stacey's high converting event playbook in the link below. Connect with her, check out her podcast. If this was helpful, please go DM us, say hello, leave a comment. I'm here to help you make more money and feel confident in doing it so that you can live the life of your dreams, where you're in balance, where you have time with loved ones and fur babies and time for hobbies and not just stuck at your desk all day, not going back to the corporate cubicle where we really had no autonomy whatsoever. So thank you for listening to The Marketing Freelancer. I'm Emily Reagan. I'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more, or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns unite.
Hey, Stacey, welcome back. Let me start her. You're not back. You're back in my life.
I'm back in your life.
Share the podcast with someone you know it could help. The more people who hear, the better army. Blah, 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 blah. What is my mission? That's not to make an army. Blah, 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 blah. Don't say that.